well.
It's the Dr. Bill Deagle Show, presented by NutraMedical.com. Call live 818-818-6401.
We're back. Yeah, Dr. Bill here. And we have Harley there.
Yes.
Harley, welcome back to the program. We have lots of stuff to talk about today. A lot of things going on between now Trump and Xi. Some positive comments. We have the issue in Hong Kong. We've got the statements by Taiwan now supporting Hong Kong. Let's discern what's happening.
Well, let's start out with what's going to happen with the G7 meeting, which it looks like it's going to be one of the most irrelevant meetings that has ever taken place. Trump made an interesting comment yesterday when he was asked, how do you feel going into this meeting where you've alienated all the allies? And he said, not bad, not bad at all. And then he pointed out that every one of the other countries coming is in the midst of a very profound crisis. You have Canada, where Prime Minister Trudeau is very weak right now. He's riddled with scandals, and he's got an election coming up. You've got in Japan a real trade dispute going on between Japan and South Korea,
right,
which is becoming very nasty. You have the Italian government collapsed last week. It was brought down largely by conniving by the European Union and some of the Italian parties.
Right.
But we can talk more about that, but it was that's a very wild situation. You have Macron, who's in trouble. You have Boris Johnson, who's still looking for some kind of solution to the Brexit problem. And so, and then with China, you've got between Hong Kong and the battle with Trump, virtually every leader is coming in with...
I think it's a good thing rather than bad to have these things as a prelude, because you see, you know, the whole issue about solving problems is you need to have a problem in order to solve. And it forces people, it's like after a war, you know, people start a war figuring somehow when they win a war, everything's solved. And actually, everybody always has to sit down at the table and decide how many dead people they've had and how much destruction they've done and what are they going to do to fix it, just like we did after World War One and Two or any other war. In a sense, this is an economic, a geopolitical, and a trade wars in all these countries, and we have to sit down at the table and sort out solutions. And you know, it's whether or not, for example, we just want China to do the Belt and Road or work with a number of nations without America and the West, or we want them to proceed. And right now, China has to come our way a bit, and we have to come their way a little bit. And the problem is, you see, that if people take a hard position and don't want to negotiate, I believe Trump wants to negotiate, but I do see some various factions. For example, some of the people that made the trade deal with China back last year, about a few weeks afterward, they nixed the trade deal because there were factions inside the China Communist government that didn't like it. And these are people that wanted to negotiate something. So the same thing going with Xi, with let's say, North Korea. North Korea wants to have that little tiger, that little, you know, that like the movie where it shows the horse running across the top of the South China Sea water, you know, a little video. The fact is that North Korea could have the same kind of economy as South Korea, but it needs to disconnect from Russian nukes, which are, by the way, the nukes in North Korea are Russian. We need to decide that we're going to have an economy in other countries. Part of the problem is when you have no economy, say, in Central America, or a narco economy in Mexico, it's no wonder we have the drug problems and some cities and areas taken over by the drug cartels. And then we have the corruption inside our government that's, you know, getting trillions of dollars of money by alliances with the drug cartels. Trump's not addressing these things. He's not addressing the underlying problem. And the same thing with, you know, even when Boris comes in Britain. You know, when you're doing Brexit, are you going to make new trade deals with Europe so when a good goes back and forth across the border 12 times, you don't get tariffs? Because you have to work out these facts, these little kind of technical facts. Otherwise, if you have a good that goes back and forth, say, 12 times across between Italy and France and Germany and Britain before it's finally able to go to the marketplace, and you don't have proper trade arrangements made to handle that, you know, I think what Britain wants, basically, is they want control of immigration. They don't want to lose their British pound sterling. I mean, they have to delineate what do we want and what can we give so we can still work out a deal. And so I'm actually kind of positive about it if we have rational people. But unfortunately, like you say, we don't necessarily have rational people. I think Trump wants to negotiate.
And if I can interrupt you for a second.
Yeah, go ahead. I want to be interrupted. Please go ahead.
We actually have a different problem, which is that all these problems exist, but it's, you know, it's as you would often use a surgical analogy, it's someone who's has a thorn in their thumb and you're trying to fix that while they're having a heart attack. You know, the problem is the whole world financial system is collapsing.
Oh, well, we can see that. I mean, obviously, and we've delineated this over the years of all the structural things with our financial system that were never fixed after the Big Short movie came out. And because he didn't do things like Glass-Steagall and didn't fix the Hamiltonian economy or even have a Jubilee Day to get rid of debt, the world is ready to pop. It's like you're at a kid's party and they're all 10 years old and there's some kid has a big hat pin and he's running around trying to burst everybody's balloon. The balloons are going to start bursting, aren't they?
Well, and the problem is that many of these crises that we're looking at have as a starting point the fact that there are nations that are in very significant financial trouble. For example, the situation in Germany. Germany is destroying its own economy. The Merkel government, the so-called opposition parties, have all agreed to go with a green economy, and the dismantling the industrial base and the engineering and technological base.
Well, you live there. I mean, you're dealing with some of the most technically advanced people in the world, and if they're doing what they call Sanderclausing their it's like, you remember they talk about the Krampus, which is kind of like a dark analogy, and the guy comes before Santa in Christmas, and if you're evil, he grabs the child and takes the child to Hades. Well, the Santa Claus of Germany is actually destroying it because they're accepting the Green Deal. They're trying to get rid of coal and trying to get rid of oil and even get rid of nuclear, which they rely on. And their economy is not going to survive it, is it?
They've already implemented the Green Deal, and they are planning carbon taxes. They're planning a 10-cent per liter tax on gasoline. They're after pushing for diesel for so long, they're now taxing diesel.
You know, really?
You've got a death wish.
Whoa.
And it's all being done in the name of protecting the climate when this has nothing to do with climate. Now, let me just develop a couple of other points here, because there are some very serious problems that include, you know, when you mentioned the internal problem in China reflecting itself in some of these things. We have the same thing here. I mean, we have people like Peter Navarro. It wasn't just that China pulled back. It was that Navarro and Bolton changed certain aspects.
Of course it is. There's parties in our country that are screwing up a deal maker like Trump, and same in China. I mean, it's not just one country that's screwing up. It's multiple countries that are players in this.
And that's because most of these countries have neoliberals and neoconservatives whose loyalty is not to the people of that country but to factions within that country. The globalist faction, for example, in the United States, that's willing to do trade deals that will harm the vast majority of American people, supposedly in the name of America.
Well, and Beijing just slapped another $75 billion in tariffs against us, and Trump had delayed the tariffs on Chinese goods to $250 billion to December 15th so people could buy their toys and their Christmas clothes and so on. I think this is irrational on the part of China as well as irrational on our side, because many of the advisors around Trump are nuts, and they don't understand that if you don't make a deal, the economy is going to... We're not just have a recession. I believe we're heading toward a depression.
The Chinese know that.
Yeah, but they seem to have multiple forces inside even China. I mean, it's the same thing as over here. I think Xi wants to make a deal, but there's some people in the party that aren't deal makers.
Well, but here's the problem. It's once a brawl has started, the person who throws the next punch is not necessarily the one who's responsible for the brawl.
Well, I think it was a deal almost made, though, and then they pulled out of it. And Trump was actually excited and tried to announce it. And then all of a sudden, oh, no, there's no deal. I'm thinking, good.
Well, it's a little bit different because they were close to a deal. The Chinese objected to a couple of points. But then Navarro changed the goalposts on other points, because what Navarro said is that, well, unless China goes along with the banking reforms that we're demanding, we can't have a trade deal. Those banking reforms would destroy China's economy because they would impose American-style derivative trading and so on the Chinese economy, and the Chinese refuse to do that.
Here's what I think is a problem, and this is something that we need to talk about, but I don't think America and the West can pull out of derivatives now, which is why we don't even really have the choice. If we're going to marry our economy to the Chinese, they're going to be sucked into the derivatives vortex. And I don't think that's necessarily good, but I don't know if we can actually pull out of it ourselves. See, Trump, even before he was elected, let me finish. Before Trump was elected, he made the statement we should get out of the reserve system. I don't think we can. I think we're actually sucked into it. Now he's talking about trying to lower the 100 basis points and do all these other things, and they're lowering the rate and so on. The problem is, I have a feeling the system is so far gone, it's like walking into the ICU and seeing a patient and the resident saying, look, I think the patient's doing better. And you look at their markers, you know, their bioweapon markers and whatever, and their oximetry and so on, and their pupils are fixed and dilated. I'm thinking, this person is getting rigor mortis, and they're not almost dead. They still have a pulse.
The problem you have is that you have to address the underlying problem, or you're never going to solve it.
Exactly.
To say that the problem is that the Chinese didn't do this, or the U.S.
I'm not going to blame just the Chinese. There's lots of parties to blame here, isn't there?
I know, but the point is, Trump is correct in saying that this is a problem that's gone on for 40 years.
The
problem that was the neoliberals in the United States, the ones who brought the World Trade Organization and GATT together in the first place, they imposed terms of trade which created an artificial economy based on speculation.
Right.
The Chinese were never part of that, and the Chinese were trying to instead go with an American system-style economy where credit goes to the productive side of the economy. The real economy, physical economy. We don't have that. And right. Trump was trying to fix it with tariffs, and there's a problem there. Tariffs are a tool to deal with aspects of trade which are unfair. Right. What if the problem is that you've put the unfair situation on yourself? So putting tariffs on China doesn't fix the problem with the U.S. economy. And the problem with the U.S. economy is our banking system is run by financial interests that are not predominantly American.
Well, they're not Hamiltonian either. They don't want to invest in small and medium business that allows them to grow to become big business and new, because our economies would skate an innovative economy. And what we're seeing is the money that's being poured into it is actually amalgamating larger and larger corporations, like you said before, not fixing or growing a new economy or even building infrastructure. That's craziness.
That's why the solution is you've got to start with the real problem, which is that even though addressing the banking situation will be messy, if you don't, you'll never solve the problem.
Right.
If instead you demand that China follow our lead and set up a banking system that harms China, they're not going to do it, and they shouldn't do it.
Well, I think we can have as maybe a buffer between our system and their system. I think we need a third option. I don't think they should or would let us have like a speculative bank take over the Chinese economy, because to be honest with you, even though they're pretty big, I think the problem I see is threefold. I want to just throw something out and see what you think. Firstly, we need a Bretton Woods style system to have a standard locked in interest rate exchange that can maybe be reviewed every year with each country that deals with America. Number two, we need to back the dollar with gold. Let me just finish, okay? So the thing I see is we need to reestablish what stabilizes the economy so you don't have either tariff or non-tariff barriers. And then we can do things like protecting intellectual property, like the senator talks about, Marco Rubio. Those are minor things. What we need to do is we need to talk about, hey, how can we bring high-speed rail to America with Chinese engineers? How can we work on technologies that are going to stabilize the world from a coronal mass ejection from the sun to knock out our power generators? Because we have UHF transformers, and if a CME hits the earth that lasts for hours, the power's gone. It's not coming back. There's only 200 production every year, even including in China. We don't make them anymore. So we're basically not prepared for anything. It's like, you know, somebody who says they're a prepper and they got a gun, but they don't have stored food. It's crazy, isn't it?
Well, you lost me there for a minute because the really important question is whether we should demand of other countries that they harm themselves by following the mistakes that we've made.
I don't think so. We have to find the third way. How's that? And I know Lewis has worked hard at that.
I have the third way for you, and the Chinese are going that way.
Let's do it. When we come back, we're going to talk about the third way. I think Trump will work it out with them, but we need to work on something that doesn't destroy them or us.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Red Deer Velvet DR is an amazing new product with a patent to preserve 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones, same as fetal life, where you don't age at all. The state of fetal life allows the 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones produced by the placenta to be supportive of the regeneration of tissues and organs, with maximum apoptosis changing the tissue and organ structure of a fetus. That's why if fetal surgery is performed, there is no scar. Taking 2 to 3 capsules twice a day with oncomycin, MycoD2, provides an amazing support for regeneration of any tissue and organ in the body, and even advanced stem cell therapy support treatment. Do get NutraMedical's Red Deer Velvet DR from Dr. Bill Deagle at NutraMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, 888-212-8871. Stay well and stay young with NutraMedical. Lumen Photon Therapy, infrared light, far and near infrared, is extremely important for pain control, stimulation of nitric oxide, improved perfusion, and stem cell activation and reduction of cytokines. Dr. Bill uses it for pain control, for regeneration techniques, for organ regeneration, and for stimulation of your stem cell activity. This amazing Lumen Photon Therapy this year will probably have an additional device with frequency therapy during the on phase of the lights. To obtain a Lumen Photon machine, contact Dr. Bill at NutraMedical.com, 888-212-8871. He'll prescribe it with providing nutraceuticals to help with your regeneration, healing, and pain control. Nothing like the Lumen Photon Therapy for easy therapy for your eyes, your pain, your joints, regeneration of organs, detoxification of the body. Get a Lumen Photon machine from Dr. Bill Deagle, NutraMedical.com, 888-212-8871. Stay well with NutraMedical. The Sonic Life Machine is one of the most amazing therapies that Dr. Bill provides. It is the best sine wave exercise machine on the planet, doing whole body vibration, opening up the muscle to reduce insulin resistance, improve perfusion, release stem cell therapy throughout the body, and epigenetically stimulate the body to release DNA activated. The epigenetic therapy with the sine wave curve of frequencies given for atomic resonance, but Linus Pauling for minerals and amino acids, stimulates the production of messenger RNA to correct structural protein enzyme deficiency for almost every illness. There's nothing like the sine wave therapy for improving body healing for exercise, but also the epigenetic treatments Dr. Bell can provide can help neutralize frequencies for disease states and illness. Get a Sonic Life machine through Dr. Bill Deagle at NutraMedical.com. Contact us at NutraMedical.com, 888-212-8871, or go to the website NutraMedical and give us a contact. Dr. Bill is available to help you get well with NutraMedical.
Need a powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens? Allicin Med is the powerful universal pathogen killer's latest advance of German-sourced allicin, enzymatically stabilized to clear the body of bacteria, fungi, mycobacteria, and parasites. It penetrates body biofilms and is non-toxic to tissues. Pathogen resistance cannot develop for long-term body-optimized wellness. Clear stealth pathogens that promote autoimmune disease, cancer, and vascular inflammation and plaque and promote healing of tissues. Now pathogen-free. With 200 milligrams more power than prior Alamed, you can't get a more powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens. Give your body what it needs. Allicin Med. order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. That's 1-888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
Well, let me start with the discussion we're having, what should happen between the U.S. and China. There were agreements that were reached that would have been in the right direction.
Right.
And that was sabotaged by Navarro, who insisted that banking reform be put on the agenda. At that point, the Chinese pulled back from a whole series of agreements that they had made. But the problem they had was that they are not going to shift their banking into a speculative Western-style banking system. And there's good reason for that. They're looking at our banking system, and they're seeing it cratering. You know, just today, Powell, the Federal Reserve Chairman, gave a speech at Jackson Hole, Wyoming, the annual Kansas City Federal Reserve retreat. And what he said is that the reason there are U.S. economic problems is Germany, Italy, Brexit, and trade war with China. That we have larger debt and worse leverage rates today than we did when the thing blew out in 2008.
Right.
That has nothing to do with anything that Germany, Italy, Brexit, or China has done. That has to do with what was done by the international banks over the last 30 years. They've built up a series of speculative bubbles, and when they pop, they come up with another bubble. Now, the Chinese, I'm not saying China's perfect, but what they're trying to do is build an economy that will provide for the growing population in China a higher standard of living based on developing new energy-intense technologies while destroying our energy-intense technologies. They're developing new industries in space and in transportation and power while we're scaling back. They're doing the right things, and we're not. Now, in many of these things, Trump is in agreement with what China is doing. And that's why there's a positive relationship generally between Trump and Xi.
Right.
But because of the things that are being thrown in there, by people like Navarro in particular, also Lighthizer, but also then people like Bolton.
Right.
What was decided by the people who are opposing the deal is to pull the plug on China by launching operations out of Hong Kong. And this is not so different than what was done with Ukraine.
No, of course. I know when you mentioned that term launching, it came with one issue, which is to extradite people from Hong Kong that somebody in China, the courts in China, wanted to extradite, which was against their laws, okay? But why did that blow up into this whole big thing? I mean, we even have millions of people showing up on so-called protesting. And, you know, they have an autonomous court system. They have their own private economic system and a subsystem of China. And it's blowing out of proportion when really the issue is just don't extradite people to Chinese court systems. I mean, why is this blowing up? And I'd like you to... Your side of it.
Well, for the same reason that the demonstrations in the Maidan in Kiev became the basis for a coup, because there's money going in, there's support going in, there are operations that are being launched to undermine the authority of existing governments.
What about Mr. Li, the billionaire that's the richest guy in Hong Kong, comes out and says he wants American support and he wants him to do this and that? What does he want America to do? I mean,
well, that's the important question, because here's an issue for you. The people of Hong Kong live in a mixed economy. It's not a communist economy. They have not been forced to change their system by the Chinese. And in fact, the people who are doing well there are doing fine. But there are a lot of people who are not doing well in Hong Kong because it's not an industrial economy. It's largely dependent on finance. And the finance has limited benefits as far as reaching to other people. Now, you know, if you look at the world, there are demonstrations everywhere right now. And if you look at what's being done by the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and her group that are trying to stir up these demonstrations. They can always find people who are unhappy, who are dissatisfied, but how do they get bigger demonstrations? You get people like Soros and Tom Steyer to throw in money, to hire buses to transport people.
Right.
Look at the left-right phony rioting that went on in Portland last weekend. Now, these don't spontaneously emerge. They have training camps for the Antifa, where they're getting money to go up into the mountains outside of Portland and Oregon,
right,
and train for civil disobedience. Now, in Hong Kong, you had a small core of people who were trained in these kinds of tactics,
right,
who trashed the legislature, who went and attacked policemen. You know, the vast majority who were involved in the demonstrations were not doing that. They were really serious about stopping extradition.
Right.
But a smaller group used it as an opportunity to trigger a reaction from the Hong Kong police.
Right.
Now, any country in the world, when you have a demonstration that's larger than the size of the police force, if you have people who are provocateurs who are willing to get their heads cracked, You're going to have something that becomes violent and gets out of control.
Right.
Well, then the question is, are these spontaneous, or is there a core grouping that's involved in pushing something different from what the demands are of the protesters?
Right.
And you could have the same thing happen in the United States. And what would happen if the Green New Deal people, for example, or let me take a case of Germany. They have the annual auto show in Stuttgart in September. This is going to be a focal point for the environmental lunatics,
right,
to have riots against auto producers in Germany. Now, what happens if the German police intervene to try to stop them from trashing the new cars that are on display?
Right.
Well, you're going to have a media that's going to say the German police are causing the problem because they're rioting. Now, what happens?
You mean because the German police aren't rioting? The people that are environmaniacs are rioting because they think if we don't fix the environment, just like Bernie Sanders Claus, and he gets really his angry eyes on, like, Mr. Potato Head, we're all going to die. And you look at AOC and she pops her big brown eyes. I'm thinking, these people are enviral idiots. And they don't understand, if you go back to the pre-industrial age, it'll kill 7 billion out of 8 billion people because we can't support 8 billion people with a pre-industrial economy and an energy system, right?
I have some news for you that's very interesting. There are people now who have been pushing this lunacy who are beginning to realize that maybe they've uncorked a bad genie. The Washington Post, of all places, had a front-page story a week ago Sunday where they said that what did the El Paso shooter have in common with the Christchurch, New Zealand shooter?
Right.
Eco-fascism. Now, think about that.
I like that term, ecofascism. Yeah, and by the way, this isn't even about the environment. It's about an economic takeover with a centrally controlled planning problem. And by the way, this is not just on the left; it's on the right too. It's on the right as well, isn't it?
No, ecofascism is referring to ecological fascism.
Right.
So here's the important thing: we've been talking about ecofascism for years. That the environmentalists, as you know, can group take people who get manipulated into being worried about dirty air, dirty water, and then use that to attack the basis of industrial society.
Right.
And what they're really doing is they're out to reduce the population.
Right, exactly. That's the real agenda, because I remember going to L.A. 40 years ago when I was looking at doing residency there, and it was polluted. But we've cleaned up our act here, and I think, honestly, we have total recycling of everything. If we work with countries like China to make sure the smokestack don't put out dust, if you go to Beijing, you don't have an inch of dust on your car in the afternoon, I think that we can make sure that we have total recycling of everything, so there's no such thing as an industrial waste site, where we don't put plastics or chemicals in the oceans, and we upgrade the genetics of the phytoplankton to make 80% of the world's oxygen, we plant trees. Isn't it so simple? I mean, it's like, excuse me, even if we weren't causing problems, it'll make the world beautiful. It'll improve the carbon oxygen cycle, which is being harmed by pollution to destroying the benthic layer phytoplankton because of pollution primarily now from Asian countries because they're not up to speed. We are, America is, but it's not going to make any difference.
Well, I'm making a different point. I want you to just stick with me for a moment on this.
Right, go ahead.
The Washington Post is one of the cheerleaders of the fake science of man-made climate change.
Right.
They have been promoting this for years, and
right.
we've been identifying this as a policy coming from the financial interests that are out to destroy the physical economy. Now, the fact that the Washington Post correctly identified the manifesto of the shooter in El Paso as not a Trump racist policy, but as being akin to what Ocasio-Cortez and the radical environmentalists are saying, is huge, because it means...
Yeah, in other words, what you're saying is an environmental fascist version of AOC.
Well, exactly, because, you know, the guy may spout off against Mexicans, but why did he say Mexicans are a problem? He said in his manifesto, because there are too many people on the planet.
Right, which is why, by the way, he traveled 685 miles, because other Texas Walmarts didn't have a non-concealed carry, and of course, a lot of the illegals that live there don't want to drive to try to apply for a gun license. They knew that Walmart would be a gun-free zone. If they'd gone to another Walmart, a black or Hispanic lady with a gun would have probably taken that guy and shot him down or hit him with a pepper spray. And the fact is that that didn't happen. So this is all by design, and these enviro-terror fascists, as you say, are like AOC with a gun.
Well, but keep to this subject I'm pointing to.
Right.
Why did the Washington Post and then Mother Jones, The Guardian, and The Times of London all linked together the environmentalists with the eugenics movement?
Right.
This is something that you and I have discussed. And as you know, this is not commonly known or commonly accepted. But all of a sudden, there's a grouping out there on the among the enemy camp that's beginning to say, what are we unleashing? Maybe we've gone too far. Because this character, this troubled character who drove the 600 miles to shoot up the Walmart, did it because he thought he was helping reduce population. That's what he said.
Yeah, that's a pretty lame way to do it, isn't it?
Well, you know, if what else is he going to do? I mean,
well, obviously, these are people that don't discern reality. This is part of the problem, is we should not have violent video games or violent movies. For example, The Hunt, they're trying to put back on the movie screens. This is an obscenity. The people that actually made this movie or trying to push it again should go to jail. People who make these violent video games should stop, because we have a number of young people who have got brain damage from vaccines or aspartame or God knows what, or bad parenting, and they don't know the difference between reality and a video game. And so you got mentally unhealthy people who are getting access to weapons of destruction. Could be a machete or just a kitchen knife.
They're being manipulated by a brainwashing culture.
Exactly.
There's nothing you can do, so take it into your own hands.
Exactly,
now,
yeah.
The point of this is that these are not left-wing or right-wing operations. These are people who are unbalanced and unstable, who are being manipulated. For example, what is it that would cause a young girl to get in a millionaire's yacht for a two-week excursion across the ocean to talk about ending automobile usage, airplanes?
Yeah, you heard about that, right? About the big yacht, and they're going to fly the crew back after they get there.
Yeah.
Isn't that stupid?
This is the utmost hypocrisy. And the woman herself, or the girl herself, has serious problems. Asperger's, she nearly died from anorexia. She's being manipulated by parents who are committed environmental lunatics. And she's being funded by billionaires. This Times of London on Sunday, a week ago, wrote a story saying that whoever she is, she probably doesn't know this, but she's being manipulated by some of the richest people in the world who are about to make a killing on the investments into green economy. And, you know, Bernie Sanders' $10 trillion green program, it's the same thing.
No, it's more 16 trillion is what I heard, the number.
16 trillion, yeah.
16 trillion, yeah.
What they're doing is they're trying to find a way to make a new bubble to get governments to keep pouring money into the existing
bubbles. Well, the bubble economy was started to die about 4 years ago. You mentioned on the show about 4 years ago that they stopped making a profit in the bubble economy. They used to make 3 to 4 times what they would to invest to get a factory to make a new product in America. And the bubble economy stopped making money about 4 years ago. This is after 2008, when they never fixed the problem, and the movie The Big Short said that. So you're right. We need a third way, but you know what? the advisors around Trump are idiots, or they're globalists, or just plain luciferic.
They're trying to sabotage him.
Yeah, they're trying to sabotage him. So when I hear the thing this morning with the tweet where he's comparing Xi to Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell, come on, let's see, you know, they want to take it out of context, don't they?
Yeah.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Red Deer Velvet DR is an amazing new product with a patent to preserve 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones, same as fetal life, where you don't age at all. The state of fetal life allows the 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones produced by the placenta to be supportive of the regeneration of tissues and organs, with maximum apoptosis changing the tissue and organ structure of a fetus. That's why if fetal surgery is performed, there is no scar. Taking 2 to 3 capsules twice a day with oncomycin, MycoD2, provides an amazing support for regeneration of any tissue and organ in the body, and even advanced stem cell therapy support treatment. Do get NutraMedical's Red Deer Velvet DR from Dr. Bill Deagle at NutraMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, 888-212-8871. Stay well and stay young with NutraMedical. Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations to referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutraMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871. At NutriMedical.com, we have the most amazing drinks with the best mouthfeel, highest quality bionutrient exposure to your body to heal and regenerate, and the most powerful persistence of nutrients to heal your body dramatically. We have Ageless, which makes you age less, which repairs your DNA, extends your telomeres, etc. We have Life Support that detoxes phase 2 detox pathways, glucuronidation, sulfation, and methylation pathway support. We have Glycemics that blocks the carbohydrate absorption and helps with diabetes or weight loss, and as well helps with people that are trying to build up muscle, using things like our special formulas from Dr. Wolf called Mega Muscles between meals along with Sports Energy Light. We have the amazing NutriComplete, the most complete red and greens drink in the world, with the best mouthfeel and flavor. You can often mix it too with Vitamin Mineral Mix, which is our fruit flavored mix power of vitamins. Stay well with NutriMedical every day. And welcome back, and we have Harley Schlanger again. I want to put together something together. I'd like you to actually send me some ideas and pointed and talking points, and I'd like to kind of collaborate. I'm putting together a third way, which I'm hoping Trump will actually institute, so there is a way to bring the world economy together, not just for America, Russia, and China, which are the main players, but every nation on Earth. And the Beltway is part of that plan, but we need to be innovative so we don't stick to the old ideas, the bubble economy, which is basically in a sense, in a dying phase right now. It's basically like somebody with terminal cancer, like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and since the world economy has a terminal phase of economic pancreatic cancer and it's metastasized. And we can't say, oh, well, they're going to be fine next week for their birthday. No, they're not. The economy is dying, and it's just a matter of it's in a terminal state. We need to reinvent so we can regenerate that person, kill off the cancer with, say, my nutraceuticals, but we need an economic version of my NutriMeds and cancer vaccines and so on. And part of that is what's called the Hamiltonian credit system, get rid of the bubble economy, decide to actually, you know, protect not only intellectual property, but start collaborating on major projects like energy. For example, across America and China, they want to build the tokamak fusion reactors. Perhaps in the future, China will be a major manufacturing site so we can get rid of our UHF transformers and put high-speed rail and put plasma lines across the country so we're no longer dependent or even in danger of a CME from the sun or an attack by a cyber hacker or an EMP weapon like a weapon of indignation. We need to realize that if we want to stabilize our world economy, we need to innovate ourselves into a 21st century that's stable for our expanding population and also stabilize the ecosphere against ecological things that may happen to the planet that we're not in control of. Right?
Well, Bill, LaRouche has already put together the what you would call the third way, and it starts with the following basic point.
Go ahead.
That we need to go ahead and break with the post-Bretton Woods system, which we've been under since 1971.
Right, exactly.
What that means is that we have a series of very large banks, maybe 20, 25 banks, that dominate world finance. These banks are mostly holding huge volumes of uncollectible and unsustainable assets. And instead of putting them through bankruptcy reorganization, they're putting through governments and people through bankruptcy in order to protect the bubble. As you would say, it's protecting the cancerous tumor at the expense of the healthy body. Now, it's a simple thing that you can do with this. Glass-Steagall is the starting point. You simply say that we are not going to be held hostage by these banks. And what that means is that, well, let me just give you an example. One of the things that Powell said at Jackson Hole today is that we're going to be in a low interest or even negative interest rate regime in order to hold things together.
Yeah, but by the way, a negative interest regime is actually stealing our savings. In other words, anybody who saved or any corporation, this is a form of theft. Please continue.
Of course it is, but here's the problem. If all you say is that the solution is lowering interest rates, which unfortunately Trump is saying,
right,
that you end up cheerleading for the imposition of negative rates, which is not going to provide credit to the physical economy or small and medium enterprises. It's
right.
Going to provide funny money for bailouts for these cancerous banks.
Exactly. Now, which, are, by the way, are getting bigger. In fact, if you're talking about overfed pigs, the banks are like overfed pigs that were market ready 2 or 3 or 4 years ago, and now they're so overweight you can't even bring them to market. I mean, that's how bad it is, right?
Solution is, with Glass-Steagall, you simply say that if you're an investment bank, you have to choose Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan Chase, Deutsche Bank. You have to choose. If you're going to be an investment bank, you will get no bailout. You will not get cheap interest rates to support your habit. You're on your own. Now, what we can do, just to jump to the next step in that, is basically say to them, you don't have to divest all your debt right now. We'll give you 5 years to do it, but you're not going to get any protection or bailout. And if you bring these products to market and they're at zero, then you take the loss. The people will not take the loss. So that's the first step under Glass-Steagall. Secondly, we then say to those that wish to be commercial banks, we'll protect your savers, we'll protect your business accounts, we'll protect your legitimate investments. But you have to then make a commitment that you're not going to have any more of this speculative nonsense, and the credit that you get to protect those areas will go in the form of new loans to producers. Now, that's something that can be done through legislation, through regulation.
Right.
That's what we did.
In other words, it doesn't have to be done by Congress, which is always going to block them, because the Democrats and the globalists behind the Democrats don't want to collaborate with this plan. and also the Rhino Republicans that want to form a banking globalism. And actually what they're doing is they're putting America and the world in danger of an economic collapse that will also precipitate war and a population reduction.
Let's stick with the solution then.
Yeah.
So what you do is you end the principle of too big to fail banks that are protected by taxpayers.
Right.
You return banking to the honorable profession of ensuring that there's credit for producers.
Right.
So you leave it to the local bankers to decide who they're going to make the credit available to.
Right.
And generally, local bankers will make the right decision. Occasionally, you pick a stinker. You bet on a bad operation. But that's part of the cost of doing
business.
Yeah, but,
you know, it's speculative derivatives that blew up the banking system back in 2008.
That's exactly the point.
Yeah.
And so you choke off the cheap government-backed credit to speculative swindlers.
Right.
Now, once you do that, then you start saying, okay, so where do we want this credit to go? What are the projects we need? And as we've been talking for a while, you need projects that will upgrade our transportation, our energy production, and then longer-term projects like space exploration, nuclear fusion, strategic defense of Earth, and things of that sort. Now,
right.
Those kinds of bigger projects you do jointly with countries like Russia, China, the European Space Agency, which is a relatively competent, one of the few competent bodies in the European Union.
Right.
Look, the Indians just have a rocket, or a space vehicle, rather, that's circling the moon and is taking beautiful pictures of the South Pole of the moon. And they're going to be landing there, I think, in the next couple of days. So you have countries like India and Japan that can participate in this. And so you create programs that inspire nations to work together to solve common...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, and those things are, you can make a short list of 5 or 6 things that you can do that too, as well, right? Oops, we lost our connection there, I think. Or no, somebody, a call is coming through on your line. Let's see if we can... Let's see if we can establish a connection to Harley in Berlin. So, I would say the short list, I would say, is number one, move toward nuclear fusion energy and put plasma lines distributing power. Number two, re-engineer the phytoplankton so you restore the carbon oxygen cycle and make sure that we make trade deals with countries that cannot let toxic pollution come out of their smokestacks or put it out in the oceans in industrial waste. Number three, we need to actually stabilize the production of food and not to make genetically modified food that's toxic to humans or put toxic pesticides in our food like Roundup that's going to cause cancer like non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. We need to make sure that we don't force vaccines. Vaccines are actually toxic to the human biology. We know, for example, that the Gardasil vaccine makes 25% of women, this is a study of 8 million women, makes them sterile. So they become sterile after the Gardasil vaccine, which, by the way, can cause death. We need to have true scientists rule, not a bunch of idiots. And what we have is when we talk about green agenda, I'm an environmentalist, but I'm a real one. And I want to do real things that may restore the oxygen level at sea level from 19 to 21% again. I want to see the ozone layer protected from in space because the magnetosphere of the Earth is collapsing. So we need to figure out how do we make sure the Earth can continue generating a magnetic field along with adequate amounts of oxygen and plenty of ultraviolet light so we maintain an ozone layer. How do we protect against earthquakes? We use telluric frequencies, can convert megaquakes every couple of centuries into a microquake every day. How do we protect the sea life in the oceans so we don't put pollution out there? Fukushima Daiichi should have been fixed. It's not. It's pouring out tons of pollution to the Pacific Ocean. It's like the wormwood that talks about in the Bible. That a third of the oceans will be affected by wormwood. So all of these things are happening at the same time. We have solutions for them. They can be worked on collaboratively by multiple nations, and it's going to require a multinational approach for it to be instituted multinationally. We need to also make sure that we don't have bad policies against people like WhatsApp working in China, our tech companies, to make 13-plus million under-citizens that don't have rights, or to force women that can't have a second child or a third child now in China. And what they've done is create a geoclimatic disaster in the world, but also a geostrategic problem with killing all these females. In fact, in the past, what they do in China is they stuff rice in the little girls' mouths, or they just abort them in utero when they didn't see in the ultrasound that they had a handle. What I see happening is our world is run by control freaks at the top, people like Bernie Sanders, Claus, and AOC that want control, they're basically functionally morons and evil. They don't really understand the solutions to a problem that's rational, common sense, decent, and Christian. And they want to proceed because they just want power. They've got a hunger for power, like somebody who's got an eating disorder for power. And what I see happening is we have to stop the bubble economy, as Arlene Schlinger talked about. We have to restore the idea of what an economy is, and we have to allow for innovation. We are innovators here in America, whether it's healthcare innovation. I have hundreds of health conditions. Ah, Harley is back. Back, Harley, I'd like you to continue your dialogue about this, because Lyndon put this together years ago before he died. We need to upgrade it in terms of science, technology, geopolitics, healthcare, and everything. And we also need to use these technologies to actually, how can I say it, humanize the culture. For example, we can humanize American culture by getting rid of abortion and getting rid of the two-child policy in China. We need to humanize the idea of why do we have so many people coming here as illegal immigrants when we don't deal with the underlying issue of what's going on in Central South America and so on. Why do we have a younger people that are so despondent now that they're getting into drug addiction? And is there an underlying biological and chemical reason for that higher addictive level? And these are all, by the way, tied back to the economy, aren't they?
Things are solvable.
Oh, they're all solvable.
You have to get to the original sin, you might say.
Right.
And the original sin in this case is the banking system.
Exactly.
And as long as you have a funny money banking system where central banks, which are controlled by private, large financial institutions, as long as they have that control, they're going to continue to do the things that are causing these problems.
Well, all the wars since the Napoleonic War are banker wars, aren't they?
Well, and that's why the Chinese are correct to say that, look, we've lifted 700 million people out of poverty. We have another 50 million or so to go. We're going to keep doing it. And we're not going to change our banking system to protect the speculators who have destroyed your economy.
Well, they're not feeding into the small and medium businesses that can take innovative ideas that a guy in a small business or a university professor with an idea. For example, my wife's nephew has developed a technology for actually taking photographs and finding out what's structurally wrong with buildings and bridges and so on, and can tell you exactly where structurally to fix it so it doesn't fall down. And this technology is a fraction of the cost of what was previously there. It needs to have the proper funding, so he's working at the University in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada. He's an engineer. And what we see happening is we need an innovative economy that moves forward and also collaborates with other countries. They have more engineers graduating from Beijing, China, than all our PhDs and all our engineers in the whole country.
But, Bill, that's what people like Bolton and Pence and Pompeo and the Democratic obstructionists like Schumer and Nadler and others are trying to stop.
Right, exactly. It doesn't matter which side. It doesn't matter if it's a Democrat or Republican side. Well, both have the same agenda in a way, don't they?
The side that they're choosing is the radical speculators and the radical anti-population environmentalists.
Right,
and
exactly.
And so what people have to realize is that these are the two sides. Either you're with the human race or you're with the genocidalists.
Yeah,
and the president is not fully clear on that yet, and that's where a lot of these problems are coming in.
I'd like to do some a video clip, 10, 20 minutes, sometime this weekend, if that's possible. If you can do it and you want to do a kind of video, go with some articles, give me a show this Saturday or Sunday afternoon. We can do a quickie video, put it up on Vimeo and YouTube. We have to have these solutions to get through to the people that control our government. We need also pro se litigant action, because if the wrong decisions are made here, it's going to be guaranteed not only economic chaos, environmental chaos, but ultimately war and death of the human race and the ecosphere. I mean, it's all dependent on these ideas, and it comes right back to, as you say, the banks. The banks are the basis, aren't they?
Yep. That's
amazing analysis, Harley. Thank you for your work on this, and thank you, Lyndon LaRouche.